Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13, text 27. And is it possible that everybody can move up? Because we're just a small group, so that way, like, you know, I feel like I'm talking to the people here. If you can move up, it would be appreciated. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, chairs are welcome. Okay, so, text 27. Ya swakat parato veha jata nirveda atmavan riddhi kritva harim gihat pravrajet sa narottama. Yaswakat parata beha. Yaswakat parato beha. Jata nirveda atmavan. Jata nirveda atmavan. Riddhi kritva harim gayat. Riddhi kritva harim gayat. Pravrajet sa narottama. Pravrajet sa narottama. Yaswakat parato. Yaswakat parato veha. Jata nirveda atmaban. Riddhi kritva harim gayat. Pravrajet sa narottama. Anybody else? Vaishnavis. Madhujis. Ladies. Ya, anyone who, swakat, by his own awakening, padatava, or by hearing from another, iha, here in this world, jata, becomes, nirveda, indifferent to material attachment, atmavan, consciousness, riddhi, within the heart. Kritva, having been taken by, Harem, the personality of Godhead. Ngehat, from home. Pravrajet, goes away. Sa, he is. Nara Uttamaha, the first class human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Purport. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, one, the dhira, or the one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, by frustrated sentiment. And three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home, depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, may be a stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle alone, out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees, and this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he sits in everyone's heart. Nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first-class human being, as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. Om Ganatam Ananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshurudam Melitam Yena Tatsmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, Prabhupada mentions here, and it's the beginning of the purport, that there are three classes of transcendentalists. The dhira, the sannyasi, and the narottama, or a sincere devotee who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home, depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides within his heart. But he points out pretty early in the purport that the first two are actually stepping stones to the third. The real perfection of life is to come to that third stage, narottam, first-class human being, somebody who's taken full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart or outside his heart. And Prabhupada points out in the purport that that's done. You know, one doesn't have to be out in a jungle to do that. You know, one could do that even at home by taking shelter of the practice of devotional service. And he says here, therefore, practice of devotional service at home, what to speak of in the temple, even at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in the association of pure devotees. This practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. So, of course, that is the goal, to awaken God consciousness, to reawaken our dormant love for Krishna. And it's being pointed out here that, you know, that will happen in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. So that's very important to note, that we have everything we need. We have what we need to achieve the perfection of life. And now we just have to put it into practice You know, we have to take it, plug into it, and really do it. But we got what we need. Prabhupada is, Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas, the Vedic scriptures have given us all the information. And that's, that devotional service is the summum bonum of life. You know, there's sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So by engaging in devotional service, you move through those different levels and you come to prayojana, which is the loving relationship with Krishna. So, so that's what we're after, to, you know, to get to that level. And Prabhupada assured us in, on different occasions, in many different ways, he assured us that that was attainable. I'll give a few examples. I'll start with my own. Okay. In 1973, I joined in the middle of April 1973. And towards the end of 1973, it was probably about December. I'm not sure because the records have been lost, but Prabhupada was passing through New York en route to, I believe, London. But he had enough time to come to visit the temple. So on one weekday afternoon, that morning we were informed that Prabhupada was going to give the Bhagavad Gita class, and we should all be back by such and such time, whatever it was, 3 o'clock, 3:30, because Prabhupada would give a Bhagavad Gita class. So I came back from Sankirtan, and all the devotees were there. And at the end of the class, Prabhupada asked. He gave a class on actually Chaturvarna Mayastristam Guna Karma Bhagasha, that 4:13. And at the end of the class, Prabhupada asked, are there any questions? So there was a question. Devotee raised the hand, and Prabhupada answered the question. And he said, are there any other questions? And another devotee raised the hand. Prabhupada answered that question. So he had two questions. And then Prabhupada said, and he was, at that time he was sitting on the Vyasasan, like he had the bolster behind him like this. And he was relaxed. This is a much bigger bolster. You know, he had like one. This is like a mini bolster, huh? He had a mini. This is a mini bolster. He had a big, nice, big, comfortable bolster behind him, and Prabhupada was leaning back, nice and relaxed on the bolster. And he said, "Are there any other questions?" Right? And nobody raised their hand. And I thought, okay, well, somebody should ask a question. It looks like, you know, Prabhupada wants to keep going. And then he said again, are there any other questions? And I thought, well, come on. I was only in the temple at that time for like eight months. And I was still Bhakta Jeff. You know, I wasn't initiated. And so I thought, it wasn't my place, you know. So, but I thought, at the same time, I was thinking, well, come on. It's obvious Prabhupada wants to, you know, keep churning the nectar, or whatever, you know, keep speaking. So somebody asked a question, but nobody raised their hand. And then I was thinking, well, you know, I don't know, it happened so quickly. But then Prabhupada asked a third time. He said, are there any more questions? And I looked around, nobody was raising their hand, and I just went, I raised my hand, and I didn't really have a question. You know, I mean, I hadn't really thought of a question, but they called on me. But the reason I did that, because I was feeling uncomfortable for Prabhupada, uncalled for, weird sentiment. But I was thinking, come on, somebody, what's wrong with you people? Ask a question. Somebody ask a question. It's obvious that Prabhupada wants to keep speaking. Why are you embarrassing him like that? Whatever, you know, I was thinking something like that. I was just a new person. And so they called on me, and I raised my, you know, I'd written my hand, they called on me, and they said, I said, Prabhupada, I didn't really have a question. And I said, Prabhupada, could you say something about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? I thought, you know, I'd give him an alley-oop. You know, just give him something really juicy to talk about. You know, and he could talk about, you know, when Lord Chaitanya was going through the forest of Jarikanda or whatever, you know, some wonderful pastime that's, they're all beautifully depicted here on the ceiling. But, and I thought I was speaking pretty loudly and clearly, but apparently not. So anyway, as I said, Prabhupada was like relaxed on the Vyasasan, and I asked that question, you know, and then he looked over at Shruti Kirti, was his secretary or servant, both, and he looked over at Shruti Kirti and he went, what did he say? I couldn't really hear Prabhupada, you know, I could just kind of read the lips, like, What did he say? You know, he didn't. And then Shruti Kirti came over to Prabhupada, leaned over to him, and kind of like, not whispered in his ear, but just, you know, got up real close to Prabhupada, and he repeated something to him. And I don't know what he said. And he doesn't know what he said. I've asked him since. He doesn't remember the whole incident. It's just, you know, because it's just one little small thing. But anyway, I think he reformulated it as a proper question. You know, because I just said, Prabhupada, could you say something about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? That's not a question. But I think he reformulated it as a question, something to the effect of, he's asking, how do you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? I don't know, because he doesn't remember, and I couldn't hear it. Okay. But anyway, after he said whatever he said to Prabhupada, as I said, Prabhupada was sitting back really relaxed, you know. Shruti Kirti told him, and then Prabhupada... That was like Prabhupada's cue, you know. He got up. You know, he sat straight up. And he said, it is already said. And he said, it is already said. Padam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So he said, so continue doing Sankirtan and you'll be victorious. And I went, and that was it. You know, it was like, you know, it was a blast. And actually, be honest with you, I don't remember if he either said exactly what I just said, or he said, or continue doing Sankirtan for the rest of your life, and you'll be victorious. I don't remember if rest of your life was in there or not. So, anyway. But he did that, and then I was like, I didn't know what happened. You know, I remember I was sitting there thinking to myself, what, did I just get chastised, or what happened? What happened? What's going on here, you know? And that was it. But he didn't ask for any more questions. And he said, okay, you know, Gantaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, and that was the end of the class. And I was just, like, stupefied. I was just sitting there, standing there, seeing, I was like, okay, what now? You know, did I just get chastised? What happened? You know? And then devotees came over to me. Padmanabha, I think his name was Padmanabha. Anyway, and they said, oh, congratulations, Bhakti Jeff. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, you just got a personal instruction from Srila Prabhupada. So I thought, okay. I felt better. But anyway, the reason I'm telling that story is... Prabhupada said, continue doing Sankirtan and you'll be victorious. And I don't think that was just, you know, for me. I mean, Prabhupada's, when he says something like that, it's held true for everybody. If we continue doing Sankirtans, we'll be victorious. Now, on another occasion, in Atlanta, 1975, Prabhupada met with the Radha Damodar book distributors. You know, there's a party called Radha Damodar. It was about 6 Greyhound buses, and they used to comb the United States and do Sankirtan in different parts. Each one had like a zone. Anyway, they all came together in Atlanta in 1975. Prabhupada, very famous visit, you know, of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada met with these book distributors from, they were on the Radha Damodar buses. And one devotee asked Prabhupada, if we die on book distribution, will we go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, well, it depends what you're thinking of. You know, it depends what you're thinking of. And then Prabhupada quoted those famous verses from the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, it says, whatever you think of at the time of death, to that state you will attain without fail. But if one who remembers Krishna, when he quits his body, remembering me alone, will once achieve my nature of this, there is no doubt. So Prabhupada quoted those verses, and he said, well, it depends what you're thinking about, you know. And he looked, and you could see that devotees weren't so enlivened by that. You know, they wanted something. They were after something more, you know, something more mercy than that. Anyway, so he looked and he said, okay. He said, well, if you do Sankirtan every day for the rest of your life, Lord Chaitanya will personally come and take you back to Godhead. Okay? So that was, he said, but even, see, now I'm looking at everybody's faces and nobody seems to be too excited about that, because that's not easy to do Sankirtan every day. Even Prema Sankirtan doesn't do Sankirtan every day. You know, although he's thinking about it. He's got a plan, I know, because he wants the book points, right? Prabhu, all I could tell you is what Prabhupada said. I could just tell you what Prabhupada said, but wait a second, I got something better. Okay, so that's it. That's pretty difficult. But then on another occasion, this story is told by Dina Bandhu. Prabhupada was giving a class, I don't know, I can't remember where, but at the end of the class, Prabhupada said, so, if you chant if you follow the four regulative principles and you chant 16 rounds for the rest of your life, I guarantee you will go back to Godhead. And then he paused and he said, I guarantee it. So that's a little bit more hopeful. That's doable, right? Does everybody here think they could do that? Yeah, that's doable. Okay. And then on another occasion, he presented something that's even more merciful. Jai Pitakamaraj tells this story. This may have taken place here in Los Angeles. I can't remember the location, but Jai Pitaka tells it that Prabhupada he gave this class a very heavy class, full on, like saying the gist of the class was you have to be 100% Krishna conscious, 100% Krishna conscious in order to go back to Godhead. That's it. No, 100%. He ended the class and he looked around and he could see that the devotees looked kind of like glum, because they were thinking, well, I don't know. I guess that leaves me out. Because, I can't be 100% or 100% Krishna conscious. And so, but Prabhupada could pick up on their mood. And he said, well, even if you're 90% Krishna conscious, you're still sitting in the Vyasasana. Even if you're 90% Krishna conscious, by the end of your life, you can go back to Godhead. And then, moved around. The class was over. He was getting ready to get up. And as he was getting up, he looked over again at the devotees, and he still saw that they didn't look so enthusiastic. And Prabhupada said, well, if you're 80% Krishna conscious at the time, the end of your life, you can go back to Godhead. And so then he got up, and he stood up, and he was just getting ready to, as Prabhupada did sometimes, he had his chatter, and he had it, and he just flung it over his shoulder, and so he was just getting ready to exit, and he looked, and he saw the devotees again. He said, still, they didn't look so happy, So he said, well, if you're 70% Krishna conscious, at the end of life, you can go back to Godhead. And he flung his chatter over his shoulder, and out he went, So 70%. So Prabhupada gave a lot of concessions there. So anyway, the point is, by this process of devotional service, we can go back to Godhead. We can awaken our God consciousness. But Prabhupada says, in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. That's an important point that has to be done sincerely. Now here, later on in the purport, towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, there are many examples of sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. Okay. All right, so Mahatma Vidura went on pilgrimage for 30 years. So I guess if we want to follow in his Prabhupada's saying here, we should follow in his footsteps. So I guess we should all go on parikram or pilgrimage for 30 years, right? Wrong. No, you have to understand what it means to follow. There's a difference between following in the footsteps and imitating. That would be, for us, that would be imitating. Okay, well, yeah, you might be thinking, you got that one right, Bhrigupati. Okay, but what about, we should follow, say, Raghunath Das Goswami, shouldn't we? I mean, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's one of these, great examples from India. And he chanted 1 lakh of rounds every day without fail, maybe two, I'm not sure. And he offered obeisances to 1,000 devotees every day. So Prabhupada's saying here, we should follow in the footsteps, the lotus footsteps of these, great devotees. So I guess we should probably do that. What do you think? Should we start, everybody, should we all chant 100 the lakh of rounds and offer obeisances to 1,000 devotees every day? No, that wouldn't be practical for us either, right? But, so how do we know what to do? That was 500 years ago. Mahatma Vidura was 5,000 years ago, Mahatma Vidura. And Raghunath Das Goswami, that was 500 years ago. But we have Prabhupada. We have Prabhupada's example, that we could follow. And what did Prabhupada do? Well, Prabhupada traveled around the world, and wherever he was, he got up at like 2 in the morning or earlier, and he, worked on his books. And I'm sure he chanted some job as well at some point. And he worked on his books, and then when everybody else kind of woke up and started, you know, he managed. He wrote letters, like 6,000 letters to devotees all over the world throughout the course of the years he was preaching. And he was always, you know, speaking. There's about 3,500 hours of Prabhupada recorded of him giving, you know, classes and darshans and whatnot, you know, conversations and morning walks, et cetera, about 3,500 hours. So I guess that's pretty obvious. And I guess we should do that. We should probably all travel around the world and write books and write letters and or emails these days and you know, preach for thousands. You know, even that would be maybe imitating for most of us. Some of us could kind of say, there are some of his disciples who are doing something kind of similar to that, but for most of us that would be imitating. So what does it mean to follow in the footsteps? You see? It means the principle. It means to follow the instruction of your spiritual master. See? In other words, so Prabhupada's instruction to us was, you know, he did one thing, Raghunath Das Goswami did another thing, Mahatma Vidura did another thing. Our following in the footsteps means to follow Prabhupada's instruction. And Prabhupada's instructions to us were, well, of course, to chant 16 rounds, follow the four good principles, and try to fully engage in devotional service, you know, for the purpose of becoming Krishna conscious ourselves and giving Krishna consciousness to other people. And Prabhupada had four, what I could say, well, they had a bunch of programs, you know, that were meant for that purpose. Okay, one such program was, of course, book distribution. Prabhupada wrote books, but he asked his disciples, please distribute the books. So that's one of Prabhupada's bona fide authorized programs. See? So the way we follow in the footsteps of these great devotees is by, you know, following Prabhupada's instructions to chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, and plug in, you know, I mean, wholeheartedly participate in one of Prabhupada's authorized programs, which were book distribution, prashanam distribution, deity worship, Harinam Sankirtan, or preaching to the scientists. I mean, I'm going to miss one here. Those are the main ones, I'd say, but there might even be a couple, you know, that I'm forgetting here. But so you have to, you know, really get into one of those. And then you're following in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord, like that. So, and we have an amazing, incredible opportunity here in New Dwarka to do that. You know, we have a great opportunity to do that. Taking deity worship for an example, we have a really good program here. You know, we have a really solid program. We have our head pujari has been here in New Dwarka for like almost 50 years. Well, not quite. 48. Since 70, so it's 47 years, going on 48 years. And, you know, we could see there's a lot of devotees who participate in the program. Whenever there's like a special occasion, we have yajnas, we have abhishekhs, what to speak of the regular, you know, everyday worship, so many artiks, so many offerings, and it's all going on, and it's going on pretty well. It's far from a farce. And so, you know, we're very fortunate to have that. A lot of temples don't have anything like anything resembles this anywhere close, you know. We're very fortunate. This is okay. If somebody wanted to come and do deity worship in a serious way, New Dwarka is a great place to do that. I mean, we really have a good program here, and we have a good person heading it up. And as far as Harinam goes, we have some very solid people who are involved in the Harinam. Gopal Nanda has been, you know, kind of, when he's not directly leading it up, he's got his finger on the pulse. He knows. He makes sure it's happening one way or the other. And Sri Madhav Mahotsava is very, you know, determined. He's making sure it continues happening. Bhakta Brad has been taking up the mace there, and he's also helping with that. And we really have one of the best places to do Harinam in the continental United States, right here in Los Angeles. You know, most of the major cities in the United States, the streets are empty even during the weekdays. I've been to them, you know, Dallas, Houston. You walk, it's hard. There's no people on the street, even with the exception of New York and probably Boston. You know, most of the city streets are just empty because people drive and they drive their car into some parking in the building. You know, you don't see them. Maybe they don't even bother to come out for lunch anymore because they have them. You know, they ring it up or they text it on their iPhone and it gets delivered to them. So they're just not on the street. So Well, it kind of blew my punchline. I was going to say the reason why they're not on the streets is because they're all down at the Santa Monica Pier. That's where everybody is. If you can go down there practically any day, except for when it's raining. You know, you go any day of the year, you go down there, and there's literally tens and thousands of people marching up and down that pier like zombies. They don't know what they're doing. It's almost like they've been, you know, mesmerized. Yeah, take me to your leader. You know, they go down the pier and up the pier and down the pier. But anyway, they're there. They're there, and there's thousands of them. And it's, you know, we don't have any problem with security or anything like that. The other day, Monday, it was President's Day. And we went for Harinam. And, you know, it's February, what was that, February whatever, middle of February. And there's thousands of people, you know. And just and even as the day wore on, it got even more populated. It got even more crowded, you know. So it was a great place to do Harinam. And it's very convenient for us. You know, we just hop in our van. We're there in 15 minutes, free parking, more or less. And, wow, we can't, you know, you couldn't ask for a better spot. So we got a great facility for doing Harinam here. Prashanam Distribution. Well, we got the restaurant. I'm told that the next project after the renovation, which is just about complete, of the Didi Room, is going to be a renovation of the restaurant. They're going to do a whole entire, more than a facelift. You know, it's going to be a in-depth renovation, and probably included within that will be maybe even a, you know, kind of an improvement of the menu even, and all sorts of things. So that's, you know, so it's a field, and it's a great opportunity for engaging in devotional service in that area. And then, of course, there's book distribution, which is going good. You know, we have a solid core of book distributors. Dave Avrata Das, as we speak, is driving back our second traveling Sankirtan van from Denver. We got another Mercedes Sprinter van for traveling Sankirtan. So now our traveling Sankirtan devotees will be able to travel in comfort and style. You know, the austerity will just be the book distribution itself, not the living arrangement, because, you know, the Mercedes Sprinters are pretty nice, and we've got them set up kind of nice and comfortable as much as possible. It's still... Yeah, thanks to Nisringa Prabhu, right, exactly. Hare Bol. And so that program's going on. And, you know, locally also, we have all these schools, and thanks to Jai Chaitanya and other, Vijay and, you know, other devotees, we got this method now of just, that really helps reduce the problem of security. Like, I'll give you an example. Yesterday I went to Harbor College with Bhakta Devin, who's an up-and-coming book distributor. He's really getting more comfortable with it every day, and he looks like he could like to do that as his service. Anyway, we went there, and initially I was just pulling this rolly bag, you know, one of these JanSport rolly bags, and I was stopping a couple students. And a member of the faculty just happened to be walking by me as I was doing that. And she goes to me, she says, "Hey, you can't be doing that. You can't be bothering the students like that." You know, I can put something to that effect, you know. And I just said to her, I said, "Oh, no, I said, we have a table." Oh, she goes, "Oh, okay. It's like the table is like the magic thing. You know, somehow or another, if you have a table, makes you bona fide. And then, you know, sure enough, she saw the table. She even came over to the table and she got some books, you know, herself. That same person who was upset with me for stopping the students at random like that, she came over to the table and I saw her. She bought some books from Bhakta Devin. So, So it's real easy. It's real easy. We got all these schools. You go there with a table and you just plunk it down. And, you know, people come over. If they don't come over, you can call them over. And it's really a piece of cake. I mean, basically, you just have to show up at a school or you know, place, plunk your table down, put books on the table, and smile. Can everybody smile? Let's see. Everybody know how to smile? You're qualified to be a book distributor. That's all it takes, really. And they just come over and you talk and you say, you're just friendly, and you say, yeah, and blah, 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 whatever you want to say, you know. And you just say, well, they ask, are you selling these? Are you giving away? Well, you know, we ask people to give a donation. Just take whatever books you like, give a donation. And they usually... It works, you know. It's you know, actually, it's such an easy service. And Prabhupada used to say there's four material activities: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But I think is the fifth one, selling. Just like everybody knows how, nobody has to be taught how to eat, sleep, mate, or defend. Almost practically speaking, nobody has to be taught how to sell. Everybody knows, it's natural. You know, you take any person, you know, and you just put them behind that. You just put them in the situation. They know how to do it. You know how to do it. You say, hey, you got to distribute these books and get a donation. Everybody, if I took any one of you and just plunked you behind the table there, you quickly figure out. And if you don't know how to do it right away, you figure it out because it's almost like it's like an instinct. You know, it kicks in. Something kicks in, and just all of a sudden, Krishna gives you the intelligence. Well, you know, I could say this, I could say that, and it's real easy. It's real easy. So if you just try it, you'll be successful. There's a lot of scope for that. And so that's basically it. That we're in a really awesome, auspicious position here in New Dwarka, well, in the Krishna Conscious Movement, is particularly here in New Dwarka, because we have full facility. You know, we really have full facility to engage in devotional service in any one of those or all of those different programs that Prabhupada, you know, authorized programs Prabhupada set up for us to be fully engaged in devotional service. And then by doing that, we're following in the footsteps of Mahatma Vidura. We're following in the footsteps of all the, you know, the predecessor acharyas right down to Prabhupada. And you know, by doing that, we're going to perfect our lives and go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime, which is obviously that's the goal of the whole thing. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Bhajapati Prabhu, thank you. Okay. I think he... Yeah.
No, Prabhu, you were just mentioning that Srila Prabhupada gave us so many instructions, so many concessions. We know that Lord Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. So... So many examples even in the Bhagavatam, I mean, in the scriptures, where the Lord actually breaks his own promise just to keep the promise of his devotees. So when Srila Prabhupada is giving us these concessions and saying, if you are only 70% Krishna conscious, you will go back home to Godhead. We know that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. So just like Lord Krishna has done all these examples and held the word of his pure devotee, In the back of my mind, there should be no doubt that if Srila Prabhupada said something, Lord Krishna will fulfill it. You know, because a lot of people can say, oh, you know, it's just something was said. But how much weight does it carry?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tie what you felt with what, you know, of great other devotees in the Shastras for the Lord, like even for Bhishmadev, when Bhishmadev, you know, challenged the Lord that I will break your promise, the Lord broke his promise just because a pure devotee wanted that. Several places we see that in instance. So here Srila Prabhupada is giving us so many concessions, so he's telling us, hey, you know, if you do this, you do this, you will not come back to this material world. How much should we take this really, you know, as Shastric, you know, very strong? For myself, definitely. But I'm just speaking, you know, in general, how should we take these instructions, especially as forthcoming devotees?
Well, it's a good point. It's an important point, and I'll tell you why. That we should take it very seriously, that, you know, what Prabhupada said. I'll give you an example. That, you know, Prabhupada, way back in the beginning of the movement, Prabhupada said, okay, he told the devotees, chant 64 rounds. And then, I don't know if it was right away or the next day, they came back and said, Prabhupada, can't chant 64 rounds. And Prabhupada said, okay, well, chant 32 rounds. And they came back and they said, and just a couple of devotees, they said, Prabhupada, can't chant 32 rounds even. And Prabhupada said, okay, 16, no less. So, you know, that's the famous story, right, of how it happened. But it happened. You know, Prabhupada gave us 16 rounds. He set that as the basic minimum requirement. It's not the ideal standard. You know, Prabhupada never said, you're in Maya if you chant more than 16 rounds. No. You know, in general, he encouraged, okay, 16 is the bare minimum, you know, but you can chant more. It's good if you can chant more like that. But he did say that, you see. So now that's significant because, like, there are, in the Gaudiya Math, okay, they chant a lakh You know, they're instructed to chant a lakh, which is actually it's not 64, it's 58 rounds, but one lakh of rounds. And there's a statement that Lord Chaitanya said he wouldn't eat at the home. He wouldn't accept the offerings of somebody who's not a lakh party, you know, somebody who doesn't chant the 100,000 names. So, you know, sometimes you hear from, I hear it, I get from people I know who are not in ISKCON, they're devotees of Gaudiya, you know, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but not full on, and or you know, they also have some affiliation with outside of ISKCON, and they say, hey, you know, you have to chant 100, you know, a lakh of rounds. I mean, a lakh of names like that. And so my response to that when I hear that is, okay, yeah, that's good. If somebody can do that, if on some particular occasion or whatever, you know, if you want to increase, that's not. But if I feel, based upon this, you know, the Prabhupada's words, that if I just chant 16 rounds, I'm doing what Prabhupada wanted, and that's good enough. It's good enough. Why? Because Prabhupada said so. Prabhupada said he gave us that chant 16 rounds. If Prabhupada didn't give us that, he actually says in the Nectar of Instruction that according to you know, my spiritual master, anybody who didn't chant one lakh of 100,000 names is patita, is fallen. But he said, but because, you know, we're trying, we're following the instruction of our spiritual master and chanting 16 rounds and trying our best to, you know, spread the Krishna consciousness movement, then we will get, we're recipients, we're qualified candidates to get the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Something to that effect. See, so, you know, once again, it's on the strength of Prabhupada's saying that we're okay. We're okay. It's not to say that, you know, you can't, somebody can't try to increase the number of rounds they chant, or on some occasions chant a lot. But if you, on the strength of what Prabhupada said, if we just do like that, we're okay. We're you know, we're in a, that's right? Is that a correct point? Yeah.
Just a comment. To chant 64 rounds a day takes a really long time, and Prabhupada's mission was to save the world. So for us to go out and do what we do, what Prabhupada wanted, the preaching, the book distribution, the festivals,
the morning
we wouldn't
program.
Be able to do
but
it.
Just even the morning, you know, it takes. We're doing a lot of other stuff that takes time too, you know, class,
yes,
Mangalarti.
We wouldn't have the time if we chanted 64 rounds a day. Prabhupada's mission is specific.
Okay. Anybody else? Anything they want to add? Or? Well, one last comment. I was asked to make this comment by our Bhakta leader, and I also agree, that sometimes in the morning program, you know, there's an opportunity for somebody to do a Tulsi Artik or do this or do that, and it was brought to my attention that it seems like it's the same devotees who are doing it all the time. You know, but some of these things, like if you to do a Tulsi Artik, maybe even to lead Tulsi Kirtan sometimes, you know, it doesn't even require you to be initiated. Certain things don't even require it. So it's good if more devotees participate. That was what was pointed out to me, that, you know, so if you don't be a wallflower, this is not a, you know, not a wall movement for wallflowers. Learn, take, you know, take the opportunity to learn, you know, try to learn how to do everything. You know, learn how to lead kirtans, learn how to do artiks, learn how to everything. You know, and like Bhakta Brad, he just kind of really took initiative how to learn the Madanga and lead kirtans, and he's leading kirtans. You know, he's just still a bhakta. But that opportunity is there for everybody, but you just got to, like, a little bit go for it, you know. Take initiative. Okay, Gwantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I was just going to ask, like, how we can take the instruction of the spiritual masters, you know, our life and soul, like, what are some ways that we can really solidify that is, you know, a fact?
Do it, and then you'll get the realization.
the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Thank you. So you cannot take everything. It's like, you know, people that you understand.
He said that, so I didn't want to say that all that.
You know, but it's just common sense. It's not possible. Because you see, that's definitely the same. Yeah,